Hi, this is Cam from the Nerd Book Review, where we strive to broaden your fantasy horizons. I have not said that before an actual book review podcast in over 4 years. I'm super excited to get this going. We'll see how it goes as I do this solo. As I currently sit here recording, it is 4:30 in the morning, and I'm recording from my tractor. I said I was going to be recording from my tractor, but the 4:30 in the morning thing does seem a little early. But I have been going to work around 3 in the morning lately because of how hot it is outside, which is also part of why I am recording this early. I've never quite been able to figure out why, when you are spending several $100,000s on a piece of heavy equipment, they can't have car-like air conditioner settings. But whether it's a front-end loader or tractor or whatever it is, I have always noticed that the lowest setting on the air conditioner fan is jet engine loud, and then it only goes up from there. So I'm going to record here while it's a little cooler this morning still. Sun hasn't actually come up yet, so it's kind of nice. So let's go ahead and get started on this actual review. The first book in the re-release is called Small Miracles by Olivia Atwater. It was the 2022 SPIFBO winner. It is 286 pages long. It is a standalone novel from what I can see, but she does have a Regency England series. So Olivia Atwater, her little bio that she has on Goodreads says, Olivia Atwater writes whimsical historical fantasy with a hint of satire. She lives in Montreal, Quebec, with her fantastic, prose-inspiring husband and her two cats. When she told her second-grade history teacher that she wanted to work with history someday, she's fairly certain this isn't what either party had in mind. She has been, at various times, a historical reenactor, a professional witch at a metaphysical supply store, a web developer, and a vending machine repair person. Just the style of her bio makes me think that I can see how this novel was going to be and what maybe some of her other stuff is going to look like. Now, let's go ahead and, as I used to actually prefer Barry and Chris to do, maybe I can get Chris to record some of these book blurbs himself, and I'll just add them on. We'll see. So, the book cover is Gadriel, the fallen angel of petty temptations, has a bit of a gambling debt. Fortunately, her angelic bookie is happy to let her pay off her debts by doing what she does best. All Gadriel has to do is tempt miserably sinless mortal Holly Harker to do a few nice things for herself. What should be a cakewalk of a job soon runs into several roadblocks, however, as Holly Harker politely refuses every attempt at temptation from Gadriel the woman, Gadriel the man, and Gadriel the adorable fluffy kitten. When even chocolate fails to move Gadriel's target, the ex-guardian angel begins to suspect she's been conned. But Gadriel still remembers her previous job, and where petty temptations fail, small miracles might yet prevail. Olivia Atwater explores love, grief, and the very last bit of chocolate in this sweet modern fantasy full of wit and heart. Okay. It's actually a fairly long book blurb, as some books are, for a especially long, seems like, for a short book. But this book packs a lot of fun and adventure into its short page total. Mark Lawrence is another one of those authors that I always... I'm amazed when I realize that most of his books are like 300-400 pages long. I'll see that he has gotten as much information, though, in those 300 pages as Robert Jordan took 900 pages to get out. So, as I used to do, I will give my take, which is usually shorter. Gadriel is a fallen angel who, as the angel of petty temptations, isn't exactly a bad angel. And her best friend, the head of guardian angels, and her bookie as well, Barukiel cons Gadriel into getting a mortal woman named Holly Harker to have a little more fun after she spent the last year raising her niece, Ella. Let's talk about the book, as I always have done in a non-spoilery way. Obviously, I'm going to give out some little minor stuff here and there, but I always try to make sure that anything that is considered spoilery at all is the first, say, 20% max of a book. I want to be able to talk about the characters, give you guys a good feel for the book without actually giving away anything that might be a plot twist or any kind of detail like that. So the book is set in modern day London and what we can assume is our timeline. There's modern tech. There are angels, but we don't see any other non-supernatural beings. One thing I kept thinking about while I was reading it is, I guess this is modern urban fantasy. But when I think urban fantasy, I think like vampires, werewolves, Dirk Ashton's book series, this Paternus series, is one that I think of that way, or like Underworld if we're going movies. So this is pretty non-magical for the most part, aside from our fallen angels. The book does say that like each religion has their own things that are in their lore. So like Christianity has angels, but these angels can't interfere with other people from other religions because those people have their own thing. There seems to be like a larger celestial bureaucracy that is spoken about that's kind of humorous actually in its own way. The book does feel like it's got a very British style, Monty Python, as far as that goes. There's really dry humor. There's a narrator who will at times stop the story to explain things. Right off the bat, we'll see Gadriel and Barukiel, who he calls Barry, or who other people call Barry. He always calls Barukiel. The opening scene, we see Gadriel as a woman at this point. I'll explain that more later. It's something that really amused me in the books. But Gadriel's a woman. She shows up at the coffee shop, and there is a guy who can't seem to decide on what coffee he should get. There's a big line because of it. So as the angel of petty temptations, as the fallen angel of petty temptations, she convinces him to get like the more expensive, fancier coffee, and it ends up actually making him happy, which is not what she's quite attempting to do. But then I think that they order chocolate something, and then the narrator pipes in to say that they got a point of sin. So the narrator will pop in every time someone does something slightly sinful or also good, and so they'll be like, oh, this was a virtuous act, plus 2 points of virtue. Think the good place, as where, like, you can get points for doing bad things and good things, and in the end, I guess, when you die, that's when your points are totaled up, and depends on where you go. But yeah, Good Omens is also a thought that I had, or the Good Place TV show. Our main character, for the most part, is going to be that Galadriel. But Galadriel's a fallen angel mostly because, they have an issue with, some dogma, and some actions that the Supreme Being God, take in terms of the way that they like run Christianity, not because Galadriel is an evil angel or, you know, had a too big of an issue. And it's kind of one of those things that, Barukiel, who is the head of the, guardian angels, the two of them will argue about it quite frequently, or actually it's mostly Galadriel arguing at Barukiel and Barukiel just kind of listening as Galadriel rants. The relationship between those two angels is a lot of fun. Or sorry, Gadriel, not Galadriel. Keep saying Galadriel. It's definitely Gadriel. Gadriel is kind of described as forgetful. Not particularly like attractive, not unattractive, but and also having incredibly bad fashion sense. Where Barukiel, in both male and female form, is described as incredibly like beautiful or handsome and impeccably dressed. Our next main character is said Holly Harker. Holly has, like, to start off with, like, close to 1,000 virtue points, and is just kind of like a little bit of a in a rut and a stick in the mud. She has been, because of her upbringing, that's a big part of it. But also, the last year, she's been raising her niece, Ella, who we find out she has never even actually met before she starts raising her. She's just doing her best. She's working two jobs. She is obviously stressed and overwhelmed. Ella is understandably a little bit difficult. She has lost her mother. The more we learn about her mother later on, I don't know that she necessarily always had the most stable childhood anyways. So that's, you know, it's something that we see. Barukiel shows up at this coffee shop right after Gadriel is trying to get this person to get their coffee ordered so she can get her coffee. And we get a little bit of witty banter between the two of them. We get something that happens right off the bat that'll happen throughout, where Gadriel gets exasperated because Barry shows up in the same gender. And for some reason, Gadriel always wants to be a different gender than Barry. But that's kind of Barry's little thing, is to always show up the same gender as Gadriel to just to make him exasperated, or them exasperated. But one thing that's really funny to me, and really was like something that I enjoyed a lot about the book, is that the humans in the story don't they don't really make a big deal out of the fact that, like, say Gadriel or Barry is sometimes male and sometimes female. It's explained pretty quickly that the angels themselves are not male or female. They're some other gender that is too hard to explain, we are told by the narrator. And it's just one of those things that, like, throughout is funny. Holly will at one point be mentioned, "Weren't you male the last time I saw you? Or weren't you female the last time I saw you?" And Gadriel will just be like, yeah, didn't feel like that gender fit me today. So, and then that's literally as far as it's explained or talked about. And then they kind of just go back on with their day. But Holly, she's having a tough time of things. And so Barry meets Gadriel and tells him that, "Hey, I have a perfect job for you. You're the angel of petty temptations. I need you to get Holly a certain number of sin points so that she can have a little bit of fun here and there." And Barry, who's also Gadriel's bookie, and we find out Gadriel is a very poor gambler, says that he will clear Gadriel's gambling debts if he does this little job. At this point, we don't know much about Holly. Gadriel thinks, well, you know, this is kind of my wheelhouse. This is the kind of thing that maybe I should do. And as we've discussed, the Gadriel's not really a bad angel. He just has some issues with the with God's rules. So Gadriel agrees to get Holly to sin just a little bit, and ends up kind of striking up a friendship with Holly. And this is where we learn all of the stuff about her life and her niece Ella, who is like the biggest secondary character, I would say. The two biggest characters, actually, that's not quite right. We have two main characters as the story unfolds, Gadriel and Holly, and then two real major minor characters, I guess, if you will. That's Barukiel, Barry, and Ella, Holly's niece. There's a couple of other people as well. Ella's friend, who's an American, then one of Holly's co-workers will be in a little bit, and then the American girl's mother as well. Let's talk about my one real issue with this whole deal. As I have discussed, I am now doing I'm now mostly listening to audiobooks, and for the most part, this audiobook's amazing. The narrator does just a great job. He's got that awesome British voice that you would come to expect in when you hear either a TV show or an audiobook or whatever. That dry British humor, the nice deep voice, but that's easy to hear. a great accent, except his American accent is god-awful. It is distracting. Like, this is the book's so well written and so humorous, and the scenes are just set up so nice that I get into that stupid the line that my wife hates more than anything, the movie in my mind. If I want to set my wife off, all I have to do is mention the movie in my mind, because she's so tired of hearing it. But anyways, I got into that with this story. I mean, we're talking like 5-10 minutes into this audiobook, and I am already into it. And so he gets this American accent, though. And first off, like, his voice kind of becomes a little bit nasally, somehow a little deeper at the same time. And I don't know what his inspiration for the American accent was, but it kind of sounds at times like he's suddenly Irish, but trying to suppress an Irish accent. And at times it sounds like he is like maybe Jimmy Stewart or from the 1940s or a 1940s gangster film was the inspiration for this American accent. I'm just not sure, but it's really jarring. And the first few times I heard it, it really took me out of that movie in my mind, because not only does it sound like a little bit like more nasally, deeper, but like them two characters who are American are a 12-year-old girl and her mom. So like, it's just really threw me for a loop. But luckily they're not, you know, like major characters. We don't hear that voice until later into the book, and it's not something that happens regularly. And eventually I did kind of settle into it, but the first like 3 or 4 times I heard it, I'm just like, man, this is crazy. Anyways, that's my one nitpick to it. Otherwise, getting into my recommendation phase. Hopefully I'm not rushing all of this, and I'm doing it in a good order. But we have the main plot of the book, that Gadriel is supposed to tempt Holly to sin just a little bit, so she has a little bit more fun. Obviously, it goes slightly awry and doesn't go as smoothly as Gadriel hoped. But that's what makes the story. It was a lot of fun. I don't think that anybody, whatever you normally read, that you're going to have an issue with this. This is the kind of book that I probably would not have ever picked up on my own if it hadn't been a Spiffbo winner. And I really do think I would have been missing out if I had not. It's less than 8 hours on audiobook. So if that is an issue for you, it's an issue. But otherwise, it's a lot of fun, and I would definitely recommend it. Now we will have a short pause that I will cut most of it out, as I got to the end of a compost row, and I now need to stop, put my composter, pick it up, and go around to another row. I will pick back up once I have gotten established into that row. All right, I am back in a new compost row. So let's get going with the story again. Okay, this is the recommendation phase. If you are starting new, what we would do when we were in when I had partners is we would go over, did we like it? We would also talk about how did it make us feel. That was kind of a big thing for some of the books that we were reading, that we added on almost immediately. I think we were reading the N.K. Jemisin series, and that really gave us a lot of feels. So we decided that if a book gave us feels, we should add that in there. We'll talk about whether I would recommend it for others. I will rate it on a 5-star system. I will also rate the audiobook if it's an audiobook. Then we'll also talk about who the main audience is and if there's anyone that should or shouldn't read it. I do a lot of grimdark novels that are clearly not appropriate for younger kids, even probably like 11, 12. I don't know that they would quite be should be reading these. or certain books, so I add that in as well. And then I'll have any parting thoughts I might have. I'll talk about the next book. I will give my little spiel of places you can reach me. So, on the did I like it part, I really liked the book. It was a lot of fun. It was a great book to kind of a palate cleanser is a good way to describe it. In term, the book that I listened to before was Grimdark. It was really dark and at times depressing. And this book was basically the opposite of that. So it was something that I kind of just really enjoyed listening to. That's something that I think Chris is the one that kind of got me in on that. That, like, maybe sometimes I needed to read something other than Grimdark back when I was just, you know, reading a lot on my own before the podcast. That it's always good every once in a while to have that palate cleanser that you're just going to enjoy. Doesn't have 5,000 characters and weird name places that you need to carry on to, or that you need to remember. So, enjoyable book. Glad that I listened to it. It was witty and fun. On the how did it make us feel side, it certainly wasn't a heavy hitter, but it did manage to tug at my heartstrings, especially farther on as we got into the book. That's where you get more into, like, the relationship stuff, and you really get more details on things, and that's where you get the feels more. But it's not the kind of book that was ever bringing tears to my eyes or anything. A lot more fun than emotionally suspenseful. On the would we recommend it to others? Yeah, I would recommend it to almost anybody, no matter what you like to read. Like I said, even if you're just a hardcore Grimdark reader, every once in a while you need a change up, and this is about the perfect book for that change up. It just, it's fun. It's funny. I laughed a lot while I was listening to it. The narrator's break-ins are witty and they add to it. I mean, it's almost like this book was literally designed to be an audiobook. I think that maybe, I'm happier that I listened to it on audiobook than if I'd have read it, because getting that witty British dry humor, the interjections that you get from the narrator are just perfect on audiobook. Rating it on a 5-star system, I'm going to give this one a soft 5. It's not like going to be on the, on my, pantheon of ones that I'm going to go back and, read again. You know, it doesn't have that quality to it where, you know, some of my, like, epic fantasy, I will go back and read and reread. And I think that Chris always, that's one thing with it. He likes to talk about is, he'll rate a book based on how likely he is to reread it. I don't know that I need to go back and do it. But it's a fun thing, and that soft 5 is definitely how I feel about it. Now, talking about who the main audience is and who should and shouldn't read it, this one is pretty much anybody can listen to it or read it. I mean, at worst, you would call it a PG-13, but it's pretty soft on that even. There's not a lot of cussing, or there's no sex scenes or anything like that, so... you shouldn't have too many issues with your even like 11 and 12 year old listening to or reading this. But it's also definitely an adult novel, so you're going to enjoy it as an adult. The last thing is the audiobook. I've talked a lot about the audiobook already. It's great. The British narrator did a really good job, except for that whole American accent thing. It's a fun audiobook. I'm going to give it a 4.5 just based on the awful American accent being bad enough to knock me out of my movie in my mind a couple of times. Aside from that, though, great book. And as I mentioned in the intro, if you listen to that, I am prone to letting small things get in my head when it comes to reading. I one time almost did not finish and rated a book much lower when a character used beer to clean out a wound when they were supposed to be like this uber confident or uber competent. That's the word I'm looking for. Woodsman. And you're like, oh my God, they're just causing themselves a bacterial infection by using beer and not like whiskey or something, you know? Anyways, there were one time I got sidetracked where there were these amazing, huge castle ramparts, but like moving 50 people from that castle to another castle was enough to strain the defenses of the capital city. And you're like, well, how can they have these, defenses and fortifications when it would have taken hundreds or thousands of people to keep, you know, for the upkeep? And in that world, like, magic was against the law. So there wasn't magic that was doing it. Anyways, I'll get sidetracked. I will try my best to make sure I let people know if I get sidetracked. Maybe that American accent thing won't bother you. But it is enough to drop me from a 5 to a 4.5. But otherwise, that's still a pretty decent rating. Hopefully, this edits out all right. We're coming in right now about 30 minutes without being edited, so I think it'll be more like 24, 25 max. So, let's get into the closing spiel. On the closing, I will give any parting thoughts. I'll talk about the next book, and I will give the credits. Once again, I've said it multiple times throughout it. This is a fun book that is for anybody, and I recommend it. The next book that I'm going to be doing is another SPIFBO winner. It's called The Lost War by Justin Anderson. I am about 60% done with that already. That's one that I had to stop doing the audiobook, and I am reading, despite me saying that that was not going to be my format anymore. I couldn't handle something about the audiobook, and I will talk about that. It did take me a little while to get into the book because of that once I restarted reading, but I am now enjoying it quite a bit. The last bit of info is, once again, this is the Nerd Book Review. I am Cam, and I hope that you enjoyed this first solo podcast. You can reach me at nerdbookreview@gmail.com, nerdbookreview at Twitter, or whatever it is called by the time this episode gets released. I am now on Instagram. I don't have a whole lot on there yet. And you can get me on Facebook at nerdbookreview. So, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and email, all with nerdbookreview, nerdbookreview@gmail.com. So, if you have any comments or thoughts, feel free to reach out on any of those platforms. Hopefully you enjoy this, and I look forward to episode number 2. Thank you.